Today's a special day. It's Father's Day. And again, I say happy Father's Day to those fathers that are out here today. And I trust that God will bless you. But for many of us, we have fathers that are out there in other places or maybe even here that we need to bless as well. And trust that you'll do that today and make it a point to be a blessing to that father, even if they're gone, that you can thank the Lord for the father that God has given to you and the blessing that he was. I know in some cases we have parents that always weren't everything they ought to be. And you know, I think of the father's love to us. Do you know that the father's love to a son is unconditional? And that means that he's not basing his love on condition. That's the Father's love to us, is he doesn't love us conditionally. Let me ask you a question. Are you thankful that the Father doesn't love you conditionally? Think about all that we do. You know what? Every single one of us in this room, we're sinners. We do wrong. We do bad. And you know what? We would be embarrassed to be with God's face, you know, and he would come to us and to see all of our wrong. But the fact is, God already knows all of our wrong. And if truth be told in front of everybody else here, it would be embarrassing to let everybody else know all the things that we've done and what we do and the kind of people that we are. But can I give you some encouragement? Now, we ought to change those things, but God loves you no matter what. God loves you in spite of all that. God commendeth his love toward us in that. Those are important words to me. But God commendeth his love toward us in that. That means that he loves us while we are. You know what? I do wrong. Sometimes I shake my head and I say, why? Why do I continue to do what I ought not do? Remember Romans chapter 7, I think Paul is saying, you know, I do that which I ought not to do, and I don't do that which I ought to do. And he comes to this dilemma, and he's saying, God, how can I do? You know what? That's all of us. If truth be told, every one of us in this room struggles with things, but God loves you. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. God loves you. You're here today. You're struggling, you're going through difficulties. I want to tell you something. God loves you. And he cares for you. That's the kind of father that we have. Can I say this? You say, you know what, Pastor, my father wasn't the best father, or he's not the greatest father, or whatever. You know what? The Father loves you unconditionally. You ought to love your father unconditionally as well. We have to love them because they're our fathers. God gave me this father, not to love them. I want to encourage you to love your father. Praise the Lord for fathers. This morning I want to give you a few guidelines for fathers. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I've got a lot of notes. Don't let that scare you. I'm going to try to move quickly through. There's a lot of things that Deuteronomy chapter 6 gives to us, fathers. Also, I want to encourage you. You say, oh good, not today. I'm not a father, so I can coast through this one. Honestly, this is for everybody here. This is a child of God and how we ought to live. And so I want everybody to listen to this message this morning, not because it's for me, because it is from God's Word. Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to look just at a small portion in which God gives some direction, instruction to the children of Israel, and particularly to parents. And so I want you to listen. I'm going to, again, try to go through it, and I hope that it will be a blessing to you, a number of things that I want you to see. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to start in verses 4 and 5. Again, he starts off in verse 1. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And so he starts off by saying, hey, here's some things that, not that I suggest to you, but that I'm telling you, that I'm commanding you, this is what you ought to do. Fathers, mothers, parents, people, Christians, excuse me, this is what God wants and expects for you as you live the Christian life. Don't just take this as a suggestion. This is what God chooses for you. I want you to see, first of all, as we look at verses 4 and 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the
Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Did you notice what is said in that first verse, verse 4 that was mentioned? We just read that. He says, how many gods? One God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. One God, as opposed, of course, to two or more. There's one God, just one God that we are under. You know, so many people have the wrong gods, or can I say the wrong number of gods. We look in our world, you know, and I think that if I mentioned it to you all this morning, and I say, how many gods are there? You would all say one God. But the fact of the matter is there are many of us fathers, many of us men, many of us ladies, mothers, that have more than one God. God said, I want to have sole priority in your life. One. There's only room for one God in our lives. One God. You know, today, and I know this one very well, we have the God of sports. It's amazing how much. You ever take a look at what some of those sports players make? There's a reason why they make that much, because they get that much attention. That's how much they can afford. Those teams can afford to pay those players that much because that's how much they're watched. That's how much they're idolized. You know what? If this guy touched this, then pay $1 million for it. It's worth it. You know, if this guy, you know, wore this, then we've got to have that same thing. And those players make more money off of their endorsements sometimes. They have so much money, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars go through. I can safely say that we have come to make sports and athletes idolized in our society today. Idolized. You know what an idol is? It means that they have become an important enough of a person or an item that we look at them more than we look at God. And I would say that in America today, for sure, maybe in the world, that sports and athletes have been made into a god. And how many gods does God say that we ought to have? Only one. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. If there's a person in place of God in your life, you know what? It could be a husband or wife. You say, Pastor, you know what? Doesn't God want us to love our wives and love our husbands and reverence them and be everything to this? He does. But I'll tell you what, God is first. God is first. And within loving God, then we will love our spouses, but God is first. We have a God of entertainment that is today. And people give themselves to living their lives for having fun. Isn't that true? We live our lives to have fun. And God says there is, make no mistake, there is how many gods? One. I want to tell you something. We ought to serve God as one. And there ought to be nothing in our lives that compare to what we do and how we live our lives for Him. And our neighbors ought to look at us. Our children ought to look at us. Fathers, our children ought to know the most important thing to my daddy is his God. Would your children say that of you this morning? I sure hope they would. Mommy, you're sitting out here. Would your young people behind you, would they be able to say, I know one thing about my mother. God is the most important. You see, we ought to have one God. And we need to be very careful what we're doing in our homes and in our lives to confuse our young people, to confuse the people that are around us of what is important. We have the God of entertainment. We have the God of relaxation. There's nothing wrong with relaxing, but I'll tell you what, people these days are living to relax, and there's something wrong with that. There is. We can go to the other side, and we have the God of work. You say, I don't like to work, but there's a lot of people that do. There's a lot of people that give themselves wholeheartedly to that work and they die working. You know, and I believe that God wants us to be hard workers, but I tell you what, He didn't put us on this earth to work. He put us on this work, on this earth to bring Him honor and glory. We do that through work. We do that through family. We can even do that through some entertainment, but it's God. God's got to be the most important. Hear, O Israel, He says, He shouts it out to them. I want you to hear this. One God. One God and one God only. Material possessions are so important to people these days. Even the God of religion and works. There's some people that aren't worshiping God alone. They're worshiping their religion. They've got to do this and they've got to do that. And God says, no, it's not religion. It's not even the church. It's me. It's me that you're supposed to follow. The God of pleasure. The God of a schedule. The God of self. The definition of God is this. a or the supreme being, a thing accorded the supreme importance appropriate to God. What is most important to your life? You go to a funeral and then you go to the grave side. And of course, people have on their tombstones what was important to them. Now, I'm not saying that if you've already picked a deer or something like that, or a fish, or, you know, for you guys, or I don't know what you ladies would put on your tombstone, but some things that you might put, and you put that there, and you want that, you know, people pick those things because they're important to them. And I don't necessarily know that it's wrong to pick something, you know, that was important to you like that, but I'll tell you what, we need to be careful. What do people know you by? Who's your God? You know, that's one of the first things that these fathers and mothers were recognized, because God, through Moses, is about ready to give these people some important things. He said, I want you to listen up. Make sure that there's only one God. Now, you say, Pastor, why do we talk about this? Well, he's given a list to you fathers this morning of some guidelines that you need to take in mind. If you're going to be the right father, you need to make sure that you have the right priority, that you have the right God. All the rest would be considered false gods. There is no other God but God. And we ought to treat him as such. He cannot be compared to. You know what? Sometimes our children probably got to think through it. I don't know if that sport or that thing or that car or whatever, I don't know what's more important to Dad. There should be no other. For there is no other that can meet our needs. There is no other that can truly comfort. There is no other that can heal a broken heart. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. That car or that sport can't do it. Only a good God can do that. And that's why he is God. There is no other that can spiritually change a life. And yet he does. There is no other but God. And he ought to be the God in your life. He ought to be the only God in your life. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with how much of thine heart? Every bit of it. All thine heart. And with how much of thy soul? Every bit of it, all thy soul, and with all thy might. Notice he says, our God, thy God. It's not just the church's God. It's not just the family God. It's got to be your God. I ask you a personal question this morning. Is God your only God? It's not just your parents' God. Young people, listen, you know what? I know you grew up and you ought to take on the things that your parents are bringing you up. You ought to take on that. And our government wants to take that right away from us as parents. You know, and give the kids the opportunity to go into what God and what religion they want to go into. You know, but I think it's a parent's job to bring them up and to raise them for that one God and raise them to show them that it is. But, you know, young people, your parents, God, Jehovah might be their God, but it ought to be your God as well. And you're old enough to have God as your God. Don't just take it because it's your parents. Take God because he is your God. What is your God today? What about you? Is he God? Again, sports and music and education, entertainment, recreations, jobs, ministries. What is supremely important to you? Fathers, listen to this. Who is God to you personally is going to greatly affect what happens to your family. Who God is in your life is going to greatly impact the rest of your family. How many dads in this world have more things important than God? How many mothers? You know, that's directly related to how many sons and daughters. It's very important. He ought to be all. He uses this word all. All, sold out, not to be divided. What is your time, money, energies being spent on? He says all of your heart. It's amazing the prices. Again, I just talked about the athletes and the amount of money things cost these days. How much we're spending on these items. How much of your mind, let me ask you this question, how much of your mind are you spending on God? You might not have looked at it that way.
We think of spending, we think a lot of money. Well, I could ask you, how much money are you spending on the things in life? We spend a lot of money, don't we? And people spend money on what? The things that are important. If I think that tools are important for my life and my family, then I'm going to invest in a lot of tools. Make sure, because I think that that is very important. If I think a certain kind of vehicle is important, then I'm going to invest in a certain thing. If I think that education is important, then I'm going to give everything to that education. If I think that this item or this thing is so important, then I'm going to see to it that I invest in that. But it's more than just the money. It's with our minds. Growing up, I invested a lot of time into my sports. It's all that I thought about. I couldn't pay attention to the preacher because I was thinking about sports. I know what it's like to invest in all those things. You know what? That's our God. You can argue and argue and argue about it, but what's your God? What are you thinking about? It's kind of convicting when we put that way. Our energies, the things that we do, the things that we choose to do throughout our day. You can argue that that's not most important, but I tell you what, you're going to have to do a lot of arguing to convince me of the fact that God's most important, and you have a hard time doing the things that God wants you to do. Sir, ma'am, do you have a hard time sharing the gospel with somebody else? I'll tell you what, it's the first most important thing on God's heart. It ought to be the first most important thing on our hearts as well. Amen. We've got to give ourselves to the things that God loves. Your money, your time, your emotions, your strength. I ask you the question this morning, is God first in your life? Is God the only God in your life? We need to make sure that he's our all. I want to go to the next thing, though. Look at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Fathers, here's some guidelines that you need to consider. Number one, God is the only and most important thing in your life. It's got to be so. It's got to be so. I want you to see next, though, in verse 6. He says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy children's heart." Is that what he said? It's not what he said. Now, is that a true statement? Should the things that God teaches us, should they be placed into our children's hearts? Yes, but what's the prerequisite? It's got to be where first? It's got to be in my heart. My son will never have it if I don't have it. He's not going to have it. You know, by God's grace, God does some things to our children that we don't have, but I'll tell you what, it's probably not going to be in his heart if it's not in mine. Have you ever taken lessons from somebody else that ought not be teaching that very thing? I struggle with that sometimes. You go to a doctor that you can tell, looking at him, is not very healthy. And yet they're telling you all what you got to do, what you got to stop doing, what you got to start doing. And you're thinking, boy, I have a hard time taking that from them. You know, do you really know what you're talking about? Are you able to do that? You know, an athletic trainer. A coach, you know, ought not be a person that doesn't look like they take care of themselves. You know, they're going to stand up and tell you, let me ask you a question. Would you listen much to me if I lived my life the way I wanted to and I didn't back up anything that I preached? After time, you would say, what about me? The guy's just doing it for a job. He just thought he could make a whole lot of money. But I'll tell you something, you know what? Any person in authority, if they are not taking it seriously in their lives first, it's going to be a mountain to climb to be able to teach somebody else that very thing. It's going to be difficult. He says, it's in your heart first. You know, Moses is about ready to give to the parents what they need to teach their children. But before he tells them what to teach the children, he's going to here in just a moment. Before that, he said, it better be in your heart. You better have it. Dad, you're going to be an unsuccessful dad when you point to your kids and say, you need to do that. And yet you don't have it. I want you to think about that just for a moment, parents. What are you teaching your children they ought to do that you don't do? There have been so many times that I've went into a place in our house and I've taken one of the children in there and want to talk with them and want to train them and to lead them in the way they ought to go. And I go there, and while I'm doing that, all of a sudden, I feel something that sounds like this. And it's almost as if there's a finger pointing straight at me. It says, Dad, you don't have this taken care of in your life. I'm going to tell you something, that's convicting. You see, how can I train my young person to do that when I'm not doing it myself? God says, parent, fathers, it better be in your heart first. Your heart. Before we can ever teach our families or our church the things of God, they must be in our hearts. He says, in thine heart. Now, how are we going to do that? We're going to have to know God's commands. You know, and I can't teach my children something that I don't know. Son, make sure you know what the Bible says about this. Well, Dad, what does it say? I don't know. Find out for yourself. I've got to know what it says. I've got to get into the Word so that I know what to teach. We can't teach people things that we don't know about. Again, kind of that illustration of the doctor, that trainer. They've got to know what they're talking about. If you're going to teach them about it, they've got to know. They've got to do their own study. They've got to have it experienced in their own lives. The word know in the New Testament oftentimes is a word gnosko, which means to know by experience. It's not just something that I've read in a book. It's not just something that I've heard from another preacher. It's something that I've gone through myself. Folks, that's the kind of things that we got to teach our children. We've got to know what God wants. We've got to know. It's got to be in our hearts. So do you know? But not only it's something that we know, we've got to believe in it. I can know certain things, but I don't believe in it. Believing, faith, takes action. You know, I can tell my kids all I want to, that they don't need to be afraid of doing a certain thing. You know, I can say, come on, kids, what's the problem? Climb this tree, walk across this pole, or do this. You know, I can find an animal in my yard, and I can say, come on, you know, and I can tell them, listen, that animal won't hurt you. And they're looking at Dad, you know, a mile away saying, well, why won't you touch it? Right? Come on. You know, that dog is not going to hurt you. I'm telling you, look at the size of that thing. Dad, why are you standing so far away? Is it going to be very effective? I've got to believe it myself. And believing is I've got to demonstrate that. Yet when I go up to that animal and I pet them, when my children were growing up, they were deathly afraid of dogs. Hope Ezekiel won't mind me telling you this, but I remember one time we went to somebody in our church and we had his dog, this dog came out, and I tell you what, he's been a tree climber and he learned on me. He learned on me. That little dog came out and he climbed me. I didn't pick him up. He literally climbed me up in my arms before I knew what I could say. He just pulled himself right up me because he was scared of that animal. You know what? One of the things that I had to do, and I'll tell you what, they got it from me. I am naturally scared. I've been bitten before and I've had just some you know, attacks. And so I'm a little bit scared of dogs that way. And so I have to, you know, a dog owner will always say, you know, somebody knows about dogs, you can't show you're scared. You got to be calm. And so I'm really trying to be calm. I'm really trying to, you know, do that. And that dog probably knows, you're just faking this. You're not calm. You know, but they got it from me. You know, I kind of passed that along to them. So what I have to do now when I'm trying to be the good, strong, mighty Superman dad, you know what? I've got to show that calmness. I've got to go over there. And you know, all along I'm saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Please help me. You know, nice kitty. Nice. No, I'm just kidding. We laugh at all this, but you know what? It's so true. How can I teach my kids something that I don't believe in? If I could ask for a raise of hands, how many of you want, and I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, how many of you parents, grandparents, want with more than anything, want your children to grow up and be used in the ministry and to be used in church and to be that good layperson to lead other people to the Lord and do what's right and to be that good member of that church and to live a life that is worth living? My guess is that every one of you would want that. Who wouldn't want that? If you're here in church this morning, my guess is that you would want your children to do that. But brothers and sisters, it's got to be in your heart first, not just in your mind. It's got to be right here. You've got to believe in it. Amen. It's got to be important to you. Because our kids know what's important to us. It's so important.
He says, in thine heart. The word heart is the inner part of man. It's our mind, it's our will, our desire. It's that thing that we so long for. And for me, it was that sports, the football sport, that weightlifting that I wanted so bad. And I'll tell you, I've probably gone to the other end of it and haven't hardly given my kids hardly any of it. And I'll tell you the reason. Probably to a fault, I haven't taught my kids. If you asked any one of my kids, they couldn't tell you the ins and outs about football and all the positions and all that thing. In fact, they might get it confused with the basketball and soccer and all that. That hurts my pride because I know all about it. But it was so big to me that I'm scared to death about leading them into the same thing. You see, because when you've been bitten, when you've been burned, you have a respect for it, a fear for it. And although there's nothing wrong with the sports, I was bitten and I was burned. And it's only by the grace of God that He delivered me from it. And I say from it because it was God Almighty in my life. So I'm okay if my little girl doesn't know if it's a football or a basketball. I'm not saying that that they shouldn't know. But honestly, I sure hope that they know who God is. I sure hope that they know what right living is all about. And I'm not saying anything about me. I'm saying, folks, fathers, Father's Day, you make sure that you put a right focus and emphasis on what is important. God, knowing God, in your heart, God. What are you raising them to be? What palate? You know what I mean when I say a palate? In other words, when you give your kids food, they develop a palate for it. They develop a liking for it. We've got to be careful what we're feeding them, spoon feeding them, baby spoon feeding them. Because what you grow up with, that's why when you're a certain part of the, you know what, if you talk to Trevor and I, we're out from out west, and we like a certain type of food. We identify together with certain things. And we come to Pennsylvania when we first come here, and it's like, what are you eating? And the reason why my wife can have everything, you know, sweet on everything she eats, including meat, I'm like, what is this? When we first got married, you know, I went over to her parents' house and we had some food and everything was sweet. And I said, where's the main food? I'll eat that for dessert. It took me years to figure that out, that sometimes the main food is sweet. If you know anything about Mrs. Fry, a lot of it is sweet. You know, the meat and everything that, like that. You take this and there's sugar and everything, honey or whatever it is. But I've got a palate for Western style food. Some of you got a palate for Southeastern style food. And some of you got a palate for, and it's amazing how many people around here, you know, like sauerkraut and hot dogs or whatever you call it. I don't have that palate, okay? Guess why I don't have it? Because I wasn't fed it when growing up. But yet I could feed you some things I'm pretty sure that you'd look at it and say, it's not entering my mouth. Do you get it? That's a palate. Now, I spend that little bit of time to say we better be careful what palate we're giving our children. That dad that takes his son out every day and says you need to shoot 1,000 shots, guess what he's going to get? He's going to get a good shot. That might not be all he gets. We need to be careful. How important is church to you? How important are souls to you? I can tell you, if souls aren't important to you, they're not going to be to your children. Serving, relationships, diligence, hard work. It's got to be in thine heart. Of course, it's got to be in our heads. It's got to be in our hearts. It's got to be in our actions. We need to be obedient to God's commands. Are you obedient? Do your children see you obeying? Are you a parent of all talk and no action? I'll tell you what, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. I want to go to another verse, though. Time is getting short. I want you to look at verses 7 to 9. He says, and thou shalt... Here we go. Okay, so he addresses the issue, one God. He goes on to the issue. You make sure that it's in your heart. Now, here's what you got to do. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them. We're talking about God's commands. We're talking about the way of God's life. And thou shalt teach them, children, diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. All right. What overall picture are we getting from these a few verses? How much of a responsibility throughout our day do we have? Just a little? No, it's talking about all day, isn't it? From the moment we get up till the moment we go to bed and all that in between. We got to be teaching, we got to be training, we've got to be giving. He says, diligently, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, bind them in verse 8. Them for a sign upon thine hand. You know what? And those Jewish people, they did that. They put those things on to remember. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. What's he saying here? They've got to be there all the time to see. All the time. All the time it's got to be there. What's the danger when it's not there? Like any one of us human beings, if it's not there, what do? We forget. The very best of us forget. We forget. We forget. I could be so determined at the beginning of the week that I'm going to remember what I learned in this devotion or learned at church. And I'll tell you what. What did I teach? What did I preach about last week? It's hard. It's hard. What's the only way we're going to get it? If it's going to be right there. Now that's very practical, folks. Fathers, this is practical. You have a home. You have a place. You have a car. You have the places where you hang out. Guess what this verse is saying? God and His Word better be there. You know what it's saying? There is no place where we escape. You realize when we go on vacation, we're not taking a vacation away from God. There are no vacations in the Christian life. Now, we can go on vacation. But I'm saying when you're on vacation, you're not on spiritual vacation. You know what? You have to be doing the same things. When we go on vacation, it's not time to stop reading our Bibles. It's not time to stop having family devotions. It's not time to, now I don't need to guard my eyes. Now it's time that I can go to this place and that place because nobody else knows where I go. I want to tell you something. You'll lose your family. Dads, every place we go. That's what he's saying here. Every place we go. So many times our teaching and our lessons for our children is just in a small concentrated time, down to a few times maybe through the week. But I tell you what we're doing, we're compartmentalizing God. And we're teaching our children that God is right's place. You know, as I knock on doors in Elizabethtown and Mountjoy, sometimes I talk about it and people say, you know what, I believe in God and rightly so, but God has His proper place and so does the church. And this is not your place, so leave. You know what, and I graciously allow them their wish and I leave. But I'm going to tell you something, that person has something wrong. God is life. God is life, and He ought to be right in the center of your eyes. Right there. Very practically, He says, teach them diligently. That means to sharpen. It's kind of like a whittler that will sit there and sharpen something over and over again. It's an ongoing action. It's an ongoing action that continues to work from now until the end. So the parents are to teach their children, continually sharpen until they're sharp. And we continue and continue and continue to do that. We have to. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And so we've got to continue to sharpen. Sharpen that dull knife. To train up, to dedicate, to funnel. Now how does this passage tell us to do it? Really quickly in the last few minutes I have, I want you to see some very practical things, dads, moms, that you can do in order to do that. He says, He says, teach them diligently to thy children when thou sittest in thine house. Now, this is a little bit different than from in a few verses. He talks about when thou liest down. I think when you're sitting in your houses, these are the relaxing times of your day. You know, relaxing times. It's maybe on your day off. It's the times after supper when you finish the dishes and there's maybe some dead time or whatever. God says in these relaxing times, when there's not much going on, take the advantage of these non-low pressure times to teach them something about Him and His Word. I'll tell you what, one of the best times to address some issues with your children is when there isn't the heat of the battle going on. You ever tried to deal with a person when they're just as feisty about it as you are? Can't really go anywhere, but I'll tell you what, a good time is when things are going okay. You can sit down and have a good talk. Take advantage of those times, you know, because a lot of times in life there are difficulties that are going on. It's not the greatest time to teach, it's the time to bring it up, but I tell you what, teaching it doesn't go so well. But when things are a little bit calm, good opportunities, dads, to take the son alone and teach him some things. Teach them how they should live. Give them something that God has given to you to teach them. The Bible says in Proverbs 9, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame. That's not the time to do it, Dad. The time to do it is when there's some relaxing time. He moves on more than just this time of relaxing. He says, when thou sittest in the house and thou walkest by the way. This kind of reminds me of the time when you're working, or these the active times, when you're going out, you're heading out to this, you're on your way to church, you're driving this way. You know what? Take the time to teach him something. You know, we're growing up in a day and age where you get in the car and everybody's got to open up their iPads and they're this, and they've got to turn on the DVD, and we've got to entertain ourselves. We've got to have something going on. I'm constantly telling my children don't have iPads or iPhones or any of that, right now, at this time in their life. But, you know, they like to read books. My girls read 100 books a day, seemingly, not really. But they love to read. Sometimes they can tell you what I say. They say, Dad, can we listen to this? Can we read this? And there's nothing wrong with listening and reading. But sometimes, you know what I want to say? Why don't you just take a time and look outside and see what God has created? You know, we're traveling through another state or doing something like that. Look outside, because it will inspire you. You know, we've got to take these times when we're busy to, hey, did you see that person over there? What's going on in their lives? One time, you know, we were driving in Elizabethtown, not far away from where Trevor and Ashley live over there. And we were there, and you know, there is a car wash place. Some of you know what car wash I'm talking about. I don't know what it's called, but just right over there on that side of Elizabethtown, there's a small car wash. And we were over there, and as we were driving by, there was this guy and this girl. They were by a car, and there was this person just with their arms out, laying there on the ground. And at first it scared me, because I thought, what do I need to do? And I was, in fact, we turned around a couple times, didn't we, kids? We turned around a couple times, because I thought, I got to get out there and help. And when I got closer, I realized that this person wasn't in great, you know, they were passed out from drinking, is what it was. They were just passed out. And you know, the two that were standing there, they were laughing. You know, they were just kind of making, you know, we thought this was a, you know, intense, serious situation, that I was going to go and help rescue this person's life. All right, so in active times, the kids are worked up a little bit and we're wanting to know what's going on. You know what? Perfect time for me to talk to the kids and say, you know what? See what that does to you? Yes. And I can tell you, it's not funny. That person on the ground right there is not laughing. See, I give you that example. There's got to be times when thou walkest by the way, when you're doing the things in life. It's time, dads, to stop. You know what? Don't take that break and say, well, we're just doing this. It's so easy to get in the car and drive and not say a word. At least, I know for you ladies, maybe not, but for us men, sometimes that's the case. And that's the case for me. So I can get in the car and drive. I remember, bullheaded, I don't know, something stupid. I grew up in Wyoming, and I went to school in Wisconsin. It was I think it was like a 21-hour drive for me. And why I tried to do this, I got in my truck, and I kind of determined, and it increased, my desire to do it increased. It's one of those things that an athlete does. He's just got to have a competition. I'm a competitor. Anyway, I got in my truck, and I decided not to I didn't put any, that was back in the day when we listened to tape cassettes. I didn't put a tape cassette in. I didn't turn on the radio or anything. I don't even know if I, like, there was any noise for 21 hours. And I just drove. And I know some of you, that would drive you crazy. But it was a competition. And I got through, and I don't think that I'd listened to anything the whole way. And I did that. I had a lot of time to think. I had a lot of time to review things in my life. But I tell you what, we can do some of those things. But you know, when you get a family, all of a sudden there's needs and there's things that got to go on. And so we can drive. And dads, you might be able to do that. You can go long periods of time without talking. But I want to encourage you something. Don't be the kind of a dad that gets in and you don't say anything. We need to engage with our children. We need to teach them. You know what? When we're resting, when we're busy, the busy times. Well, then he goes on to the next part. He says, "When you're gotta find my place again. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way. So when we're active, when thou liest down, it's time for bed. You know, it's time for bed, and this is a time when." All of a sudden, it's dark outside. It might be scary. It gets quiet. And this is what my parents taught me. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Another good time to teach. Another good time to train. Go to bed. We've told our children before, if you can't fall asleep, pray. It's amazing how fast you fall asleep when you pray. I tell you what, it's an important time right before bed, preparing you for the next day to focus on God and His Word. And I'm having to skip over a lot of things here, but resting times, probably one of the most important times of the day to reflect on the goodness and knowledge of God and what He's done for you. What has God done for me today? God says, don't forget. Don't forget. And I've got to move forward. The waking times. The waking times of life. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Another good time to learn of God in the morning. Certainly, personal devotion is important and a good time to do in the morning to review and to teach God's mercy and His grace. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You see, it's a day and it's a time to teach forgiveness. It's a new day. It's a time to start over. Aren't you thankful for the mornings? Yesterday might have been tough, but today's a new day. It's a time to teach those children something new. Parents, I hope you're listening to this because this is some good practical information that you can use to be good parents. It's also a time to plan to do what's right. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat nor with the wine in which he drank. Then there's some reminders while you're living. When thou liest down, when thou risest up, shall bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Kind of like those things that we do. If you ever told a person to put, you know, something around their finger, tie a little knot, you know, or with a piece of rope around your hand so that you'll remember. You know, I think there's merit to that, and I think we see it right here. When you're doing certain things, we put things on to remind us. If you're like me, you need to be reminded many times a day of what you're learning and what you need to do and remind yourself of God, because I can easily forget. And what this means is we need to do something to remind us of God. Verses in cars. Put a little verse. I have some note cards that are right there when you're driving to work. Oh, there it is. Review that verse. An alarm. To remember. Maybe every hour you want to remember what you learned this morning in devotions. Set that little alarm. It's easy now on the phones that we have. You know, set that little alarm. And, oh yes, I need to look at it. I'll tell you what, if you're serious about it, fathers, you'll do some of these things. Meals, every meal, make it a point that you're going to do this. Every time you do, you know, there are certain people, when they hear a siren and somebody's in trouble, they take time to pray for a certain one. Or missionaries sometimes will have these little gadgets that they'll give you, and every time you see this, then pray for us in so-and-so. I want to tell you, there's merit to it. Reminders, lastly, He says, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. Why? He says, reminders all over the house. Another way. I tell you what, it's a good thing, dads, to turn your home into a place where Scripture is all over the place. That you can't forget when you go into the kitchen. You can't forget when you go into where you're ready to leave the house. You can't forget when you go into wherever you go. You ought to have them all over the place to remind your children of a good God that they serve. Let me ask you a question. Is it easy to forget? Is it easy to forget? It is. It's very easy to get. Look at verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which thou swore to thy fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. What he's saying, look at verse 12. He says, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, there's a point. We need to make sure that our children are getting it all day long. There's some guidelines, fathers, as I review. Number one, God's got to be first and only. God's got to be first and only. Mothers, Christian to you as well. Number two, it's got to be in your heart first. It's got to be in your heart first if you're ever going to expect somebody else to move forward with it. Number three, it's got to be all of life, all part of your life. There's not a time when we take away from God. God, God, God. You know what? If God is every part, you say, preacher, you're a fanatic on the matter. That's exactly what I'm hoping for. Amen. Is that my children will be fanatics for God. That's what we're trying to raise here. And that's what God's trying to talk about here. I want your kids to be overboard. Say overboard. It's not overboard. It's fanatics about God. Fathers, I hope that you'll take these things. Make some changes in your life. You know, if you got to go home and put some verses up. You know what? There's verses all over the place you can stick on your walls, do things, paint it, whatever. Put plaques up. There's all kinds of opportunities for you to put God around. I trust that we'll do that. Father, would you help us? Would you help us to be the right kind of leaders in our homes, making sure that you are most important, God, making sure that we've got it in our own lives, making sure that we've got it everywhere we go, all day, every day. Lord, help us. And thank you so much for being the good Father that you've given to us. Lord, thank you that you don't favor any one of us. You love us all. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in the service this morning that doesn't know you as a Father, Lord, I pray that they would trust you, knowing that you did everything. You've paid the penalty. You've done the work. You've completed the work so that they can become a child of God. What a tremendous day to trust you on Father's Day, to get a new father. What a blessing that would be. Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.